Oh, snap.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet. Hi, everybody. It's Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the top dog at Raw Dog Food and Company. How's everyone doing today? Hope you are doing awesome. I really, really do. Today, we're going to be talking about what's exercise got to do with the raw diet. Well, you're going to find out. But before we talk about how you can improve your dog's life even more, let's hear from some of our customers. This is from Lakin, and Lakin was responding to our Facebook page, which is a wonderful page for you to go in and like and learn on. It's rawdogfoodandcompany.com. I always say .com, but it's actually on Facebook. What is it? Raw Dog Food and Company. Yeah? Right? Okay. So we were talking about what the raw diet has done for people's dogs. And one response was that her 11.5-year-old dog had stopped going down to the basement because it couldn't get back up. And since they've been on the raw diet, she now walks up and down the stairs 3 or 4 times a day. So Lakin responded with this. She said, just like mine, who was 10 and a half at the time, but my dog completely stopped walking, but could stand up outside to go potty. Thankfully, she was only 7.5 pounds. Now she's at her ideal weight of 6.5 pounds and running around like a puppy again. And I wouldn't be surprised if we got 5 more years out of her. Honestly, I thought for months last summer that I was going to come home to find her dead. This is all contributed to the raw diet. So thank you so much, Lakin, for sending us that message. So you guys have heard it so many times. I've been feeding raw for 17 years, so it's hard for me to understand why people don't understand why the raw diet is so fabulous. There's just so much good in it, and I hate to see some of these companies that have been good raw dog food companies go to HPP, which is high pressure pasteurization. FDA forcing some of them and coming down on some of them. So we don't want that. We really do not want that. A lot of people get freaked out about the raw diet and they talk about salmonella and E. coli, but do you really understand what high pressure pasteurization does? It totally kills those live enzymes that are doing this wonderful stuff in your dog's body. So, I'm a huge advocate of raw. We do ship our food. We have started our raw new feeders webinars. We would invite you to join us on those. Just go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com. And also take a look at our getting started page. There's a lot of people that ask me, you know, how do I start? And it's not really that hard. We've got the blends there for you. We've got the prey model blends. We've got the barf model blends. And there's a couple of different ways that you can get started. You can go cold turkey, as many of my consultants would say, just stop it. You can just go cold turkey and start feeding your dog the species appropriate diet. On our site, we have how many ounces a day you need to be feeding your dog, depending on their body weight. And it's not a hard and fast rule. I mean, it really isn't. You know, for instance, our German Shepherd, she's 75 pounds. So she should probably, according to the chart, be getting somewhere around 24 ounces a day. But because of her body type, her activity level, her age, she only gets anywhere from 19 to 20. So we have to look at the body and adjust. It's not a hard, fast rule. You're going to adjust up, you're going to adjust down. The second way that you can transition your dog off of kibble onto the raw diet is you can do the meatball method. You take a look at our site. Some people say this takes too long. Well, here's the reason why that we do it, honestly, is because I know pet parents, and as soon as their dog has diarrhea or vomiting, they go running back to the kibble or they go running to the vet. So I'm trying to introduce this in slowly. And then people say to me, well, what should I start them on? Start it on a prey model blend that has the meat, the bone, the organs, everything in there that you need to get started. All right. And then don't worry about rotating. We'll talk about that in our new feeders webinars. And probiotics and digestive enzymes. So come to our new feeder webinar. Find us at Raw Dog Food and Company. All right. All right. Well, today's podcast is all about what's exercise got to do with the raw diet? Well, according to Steve Brown and his book, I don't know if you've read this book. It's a great book. See Spot, Live Longer, How to Help Your Dog Live a Longer and Healthier Life. Steve has a whole chapter dedicated to exercise and the raw diet. And in here, he's talking about, you know, thinking from an evolutionary perspective, our dog's ancestors got plenty of exercise out there in the wild, right? Sometimes throughout the day, the dog probably had to sprint, had to run and tackle and capture his food, right? He had to chase the mice and ducks and whatever else that they were eating out there in the wild, maybe a little fox. Oh, I do love our fox. We have a lot of fox out here. They got a lot of exercise, and then they slept. They didn't just sleep on their dog beds all day, right? Hard exercise, rigorous exercise with the dog panting, Steve says, is necessary for dogs to be at their best. Now, caveat, except in hot weather, okay, because dogs can have heat stroke. Just like humans, okay? But here's the thing. Physical changes occur in the dog's blood and muscles after hard exercise. And we know as humans that fitness is important. But are you thinking that way with your dog, right? Or do you just do the shortest distance possible when you get home from work or, you know, in the morning because you gotta, you know, get to work so your dog doesn't get much exercise. But brains and guts are intimately connected and neither work well without some vigorous exercise. Now, I just had this discussion the other day with a couple of my consultants, and trust me, none of us all think alike and we all do everything different. Neely Piazza, for one, she would never do the transition method. She would say, just pull that kibble out of that dog's diet and bada bing, go. Carmen, who's another one of ours, she would say, listen, it's all about bowel tolerance. We don't move forward with a raw diet until they're, you know, getting good poops. So everybody's got their different method, but, you know, we all agree on the basic fundamentals. But one of the questions that we were discussing was these, what they call hunger pukes. And there's a lot of information out there on the internet about hunger pukes, right? So the dog gets up, he's on a schedule. It's like Pavlov's law. The digestive juices, the acids run into the stomach before the dog gets any food in there because it's anticipating food. And he has these hunger pukes. We all agree that part of the problem with hunger pukes is a dog being on a schedule. And Asta, our German Shepherd, is not on a schedule. She never has been. She never will be. Sometimes she eats in the morning at 8 o'clock, and sometimes she eats at 10. Sometimes she eats at 11. At nighttime, sometimes she's going to eat at 6, and sometimes she might not eat at all. It might be a fasting night. So we try not to keep her on a schedule. Number one, it avoids this issue that we were talking about with the hunger pukes. Number two, they didn't eat on a schedule in the wild, right? Oh, time to get me a rabbit. Sit down, fox. Time for me to eat you. breakfast. No, didn't happen that way. And again, we are trying to replicate a prey model because this is how they were really born to be, although we have domesticated them and it is different. But, you know, we're trying to give them back some semblance of what they were really born to do and eat and be. The thing that we were discussing was about exercise. And Carmen, who, oh my gosh, this woman will walk 15 dogs. I kid you not. Tiny woman, extremely fit, tough as nails, smart as a tack. Walks these 15 dogs. And she was saying, listen, Dee Dee, these hunger pukes, if these people would absolutely exercise their dogs, they wouldn't have hunger pukes. And that's exactly what Steve Brown, you know, is talking about. He's saying, listen, everything in the body works in conjunction with each other, and exercise makes everything work. He says the more we move, the more our brains are exercised. Brain cells become stronger and they become healthier. The brain fires messages to the brainstem. Cells in the brain, they've got a fire to control all the automatic centers, the heart, the digestion, and the breathing. And one area of the brain stem sends messages via the vagus nerves to control gut function, including the process by which feces moves along the intestines on their way out. Goodbye. See you later. So the secretion of enzymes, acids, and other digestive juices that digest food into smaller subunits, which make food usable for the body, that is what the brain tells the body to do. It's firing off. So the better the brain works, the better the gut works. You know, bowels move faster and better with exercise than without. So those of you who have some constipation going on in your dog, get them out and running. Those toxins that are in the body, they have less chance of being reabsorbed in the body when they're disposed of quickly. Get them out of that body. I mean, you can feed your dogs, your cats, yourself the best food in the world, but if your brain ain't functioning at a high level, digestion's going to get impaired. Many components of the immune system are made in the gut, but it's got to be working well. Maldigested and inappropriate food, it's going to irritate the body in many ways, and it sets up the stage for dysbiosis. Another word for that, you don't really know dysbiosis, but you know this word, leaky gut syndrome, irritable bowel disease, irritable bowel syndrome. A lot of people call me, they say, my dog's got a sensitive gut, sensitive stomach. What does that mean? Probably means you got leaky gut. It does. Got a bunch of crap going on in there, no pun intended. So listen, you got to strengthen your gut, strengthen the brain with some exercise. You got to push the system. You know, even if your dog's been a couch potato, it can start working out now. Just like me, I get to get my booty up off the couch, get outside. Progressive exercise, you can increase slowly. It's going to be good for you too. It's going to condition your heart and your cardiac system. You know, simply put, exercise for you and your dog is going to provide more oxygen to the brain, which makes healthier brain cells to send information to every cell in the body. A reverse process is often seen. Little exercise results in sluggish brain, which makes you and your pup feel fatigued and, you know, causes behavior problems too in your dog. So let's get them out and let's exercise. Now, I want to say this, that we do need to be cautious when we're exercising puppies. Most puppies should not go for long runs. Don't push them past where they need to be, all right? You also need to consider your breed. Be aware of your dog's general condition when exercising. Start slowly and listen, take precaution in hot weather, okay? Dogs, they have much more trouble getting rid of excess heat than we do. You know, we can sweat. Dogs can't. The only way they sweat is through the pads. They pant, you know, to cool their heads and their brains and the core of their body. But, you know, learn the basic symptoms of heat stress in your dog. Know what to do in case you get into a situation where your dog's in trouble. Oh man, summertime gives me anxiety with animals because I just see dogs in cars and the one thing, and I remember my rant that about when I was in Arizona at the arts festival and the blacktop and these dogs are walking around, their paws are just burning. Oh my gosh! And I threw a stink. Well, first of all, I went up to people and told them about how hot the pavement was. And then the people putting on the festival didn't think that was too kind. They asked me to stop. And I said, well, you don't have a sign anywhere. Why would you put these water bowls in the middle of the hot black pavement here, calling the dogs basically out to the hot pavement? You have no caution signs, and you know that. Look around, look how many dogs and pets are out here. Well, this was very funny because our cousins who live out in Arizona go to that arts festival all the time, and they sent me a picture where they had actually put up a big warning sign about dogs' paws and the heat. And that was because, you know, I got on the phone with their peeps, and I said, listen, I'm going to bring this up, and I'm going to call you out, and I think this is outrageous that you've not, you know, it's just a sign, people. And you would think that we wouldn't have to have a sign up to say, hey, it's 195 degrees on your dog's paws. I had one guy I wanted to punch in his nose because he told me, oh, well, my dog's just dancing. I said, dude, he isn't dancing. His paws are burning. That made him mad. But here's my thing. You know what? You've got to be the voice for pets, for the elderly, and for children. Don't be a weenie. Don't be a weenie and say, well, it's not my place. Yeah, it is your place. Speak up. Speak up. This is our job in life. I'm not asking you to, you know, cause a scene, but I am asking you to speak up. Save a life. Save a paw. Okay. I'm through preaching. Can I get an amen? Woo! Woo! You can donate right here. Hey, speaking of donations, I just want to, you know, there's some rescue groups out there that I think are doing amazing work. And there's one that's called the Forgotten Bull Terriers. Find them on Facebook, the Forgotten Bull Terriers. I want to tell you something. These two girls, oh, the dogs they take in, if you could see their skin, these dogs have been on a chicken and rice diet. Their skin is so red, their genitals so swollen, it will make you cringe. And they get these dogs, and a lot of them, I have to say, are bait dogs. And they've filed their teeth down, and they've got an ear practically pulled off. It's just, it's horrendous. Makes me hurt. Hurts me so bad. But they put these dogs on a raw diet, and we deliver to them. And it's, the transformation is amazing. And I will say this, that there are a lot of rescue groups out there that... Well, sometimes they can fight their rescuers on the raw diet. And to some degree, I understand, because their job is to have dogs that are adoptable. And if you say, well, this dog has to be on a raw diet, you're cutting down the amount of people that will adopt this dog. But if, as a rescue group, you can see that we've got some major health issues going on because the dog is on a kibble dog food. My point is this, that when I find someone that is doing amazing work and really helping these dogs, not only from, you know, taking them in, but also from a diet then I want to call attention to them. Again, their name is the Forgotten Bull Terriers. Find them on Facebook. I'd love for you to donate if you so feel like donating to them. Take a look at their pictures. All right, everybody. I thank you so much for joining me today here at the Raw Dog Food Truth. If you would like more information about getting started on a raw dog food diet, you can always email me at dd@rawdogfoodandcompany.com. You can find us on Facebook. We'd love for you to like us there, share our podcast. We'll help you out any way we can. We do ship. So, lots of ways to get you started on your raw feeding journey. Until next week, remember, friends, don't let friends feed kibble, and your pet's health is our business. See you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap. Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.
I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffat for Raw Dog Food and Company and the Raw Dog Food Truth. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.